This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship video by St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on November 14th, 2021. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel is written, the Gospel according to St Mark, chapter 13, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon the other. All will be thrown down." And when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. But this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. For the disciples, that prediction of the destruction of the temple must have seemed like that would must surely be the end of the world. But we know that that was just the beginning for the church. As we know, many places and events in our lives, what looks like an ending can be a new beginning. Many people have suffered tragedies, a loss of a leg, or and a war injury, but they've come back and with the Invictus program and gone on to do great things. And I know we laughed at Bernard earlier on, but he what looked like the end for Bernard actually provided the beginning of a great children's address and a new hobby, beekeeping, I believe. These end-of-year readings direct our thoughts to the end of the world, and natural curiosity for some becomes for others quite an obsession, a strong, even obsessive need to know what lies ahead and how to protect ourselves against the end time events. The temptation is often to speculate the when, how, and who of these future events, even though Scripture clearly says these things are not ours to know. Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple at Jerusalem, and his disciples understandably are very shocked. They've just expressed wonder at the beauty and permanence of the buildings. Look at these large stones. And that building held a central place in the hearts and minds and the spiritual orientation of the nation of Israel. That this godly approved building with its huge stones would be destroyed was unthinkable. And such a tragedy would be like the end of the world to them. History shows that Jesus was correct. For in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed by the Romans and never built again. The Temple Mount eventually became a Muslim holy site, and though it may have been the beginning of the end, it was not the end of new beginnings for us. The Temple of Jerusalem was the center of worship and cultural identity of the nation, and despite it being a lesser version of the original built by Solomon, still, it was the place where you could come to appeal to God with your problems, to make sacrifice and be comforted, to present children for blessing. Today, a section of the foundation's retaining wall, known as the Wailing Wall, is the holiest site of Judaism. Now, Temple Mount is occupied by the Dome of the Rock, built between 685 and 691. This rock that Islam believes to be where the Prophet Muhammad was taken up to heaven is also where Judaism believes Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. And so two groups hold the same place as sacred for different reasons. The disciples understandably wanted to know when the temple's destruction would occur. Wouldn't we like to know the time and the events leading up to the last day? Is it next week? Is it like Christmas? Is it coming just around the corner? We would like to know when Jesus is going to return in glory, wouldn't we? So we would be ready. Jesus didn't answer the question of when, but he told his disciples what to look out for. He also spoke words to bring comfort to them in their hope and give them hope in the chaos and fear that may follow in their future. He speaks to comfort us and to give us hope too. For them and us, the when is not as important as the how we are to live out our faith in those difficult times. Jesus assures us that just as we are able to observe the changes in the seasons by the flowering and fruiting of the fig tree, we will perceive when the day of judgment is near. And he also says that even when major horrific events are not occur around us, they are not to frighten us. Earthquakes, wars and rumours of wars, floods and famines are but the beginning of the kingdom's birth pains. Here Jesus gives us not a fearful image, but an image of a birthing process. Something new is coming. Birth involves pain, I believe. So I've been told. No, I've witnessed it. Pain and distress, but such pains come with a promise of new life. Something beautiful and longed for is coming. Birth pains can be celebrated as new life is getting closer to hand. So we rejoice when the birth pains start. Our focus is not to be on the endings of things, but on the birth of new things. Now, this isn't the language of fear, is it? But of hope. Jesus doesn't terrify us here with images of destruction, of fiery destruction. No, instead he calls us not to be distracted or deceived from living out the life of faith that God directs us to. The path of life that we've just sung about, that he shows us. Serving others in love and being faithful to him. As each day passes, we are surely getting closer to the last day. Isn't that something to rejoice in? Yeah, Christmas is getting closer. Well, Jesus' second coming is coming closer too. We see signs of the beginning of the end all around us every day. Yeah, flooding in Bairnsdale at the moment. Whether we are the generation to see Jesus arrive on the clouds or not, we are called not to fear. For God has always preserved his own. Even if his people's experience the worst of global warming, of droughts and famines and financial collapses, of ungodliness and epidemics around the world that we're still experiencing, with eyes open and hearts and ears tuned to the truth, God's people will be able to reject false teachers and prophets because Jesus has warned us to be alert to them. And part of being alert is to be awake and confident to what God and Christ has done for us. And where else will we find that other than the Word? We can study the Word and gather together. Let's not neglect to gather together, especially as the time draws near, as Hebrews in chapter 10 encourages us. It also describes the way we are to endure, not just surviving, but flourishing. Not living in fear, but with confidence in God and holding fast to our confession of hope in his faithfulness. Our endurance is not to simply wait out the trials and tribulations of worldly things ending, but to live out our faith with love and good deeds, meeting together to celebrate new things of the kingdom, what God is doing in our midst, and what life he is still providing us with. And just as he directed the attention of his disciples away from the destruction of the temple to living in end times, Jesus urges us to see to it that no one leads us astray. that we must be aware of that we will be persecuted. We won't avoid that. And above all, to keep awake and alert. For us, the beginning of the end is not the end of new beginnings, for he is always with us. He is the beginning and the end. You wondered about that statement? He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so our lives will always be filled with beginnings and ends and new beginnings. But if Christ is there, it is part of his good will. Terrible events will occur that will threaten to distract us from our faith walk. Our security rugs may be ripped out from underneath us, and all kinds of questions may arise out of fear. But may our eyes and ears ever be focused on Jesus' word, Jesus and his words, not captivated by the terrible things that are happening around us and perhaps even to us. We've already seen many things in our lifetime, many things in the last two decades. On November 11th, 2001, two hijacked passenger aircraft flew into the Twin Towers of New York, and a season of fear and retribution has seized our world ever since. December 26, 2004, closer to home, a magnitude 9.1 quake off the west coast of the Indonesian island of Sumatra triggered a massive tsunami. And that disaster killed nearly 230,000 people in multiple countries. And another tsunami in 2018 killed more than 4,000 people. And global warming continues to cause changes in our weather patterns, continues to accelerate polar ice melt, rising sea levels, heat waves, and many have resulted in deaths. Coral reef bleaching and bushfires destroying dwindling areas of natural habitat. Here in Australia, we know more than well than many places about bushfires and destruction of habitat of our wildlife, as well as human homes and infrastructure. We do need to adjust the way that we consume earthly resources and to reduce our carbon footprint. But regardless of our efforts, the world will still face the end day, which has been set by God for his return. And in that, we can rejoice. Today, I'm wearing a multicoloured scarf, not because I lost the one provided by the church. Have no fear, Ladies Guild. I haven't stained it. Now, I'm wearing it as a visual representation of the changes in average temperature for this continent for the last 150 years. It was knitted by a good Christian friend of mine, Lois Munro, who attends the Uniting Church at Croydon. It's a visual, it's part of an initiative for visualization of changes in annual temperature for our continent, and there are many other patterns for changes in sea temperature around the world and for different countries. You can perhaps investigate that for yourselves on the webpage that's provided on the screen now. It's called the Common Grace Initiative, I believe. Currently, COP26, the 26th Conference of the Parties, that's what COP stands for, Conference of the Parties, was sadly stalled as leaders of the world struggled to find a common ground on decision-making about how to compensate for or to support poorer countries and transfer and moving away from fossil fuel use. Australia has been reluctant to make too many statements because we rely, our economy is based a lot on fossil fuels. But an agreement is being made, and we hope that targets for 2050 can be met. I'm not too sure if I'm going to be around by then, but I am concerned about my children and grandchildren, what they will be living with. You know, despite our leaders having difficulties, we don't just have to wait for them to make decisions. We can make decisions and changes for ourselves now. And indeed, it is God's good will and command that each of us are concerned about the lives and livelihood of our neighbours and to care for the earth as good stewards of what he has entrusted us with. Out of love, we are to be concerned about the environment as well as the message of the gospel. It's not just about the message of the gospel, but the gospel lived out. By faith, we know God sustains us, but just how sustainably green are we as a church, as a community? As we have redeveloped this site, have we been concerned? I mean, we have to comply with certain new regulations for the building to be sort of green, but have we gone out of our way to do solar panels or a water tank? What are we doing as a church? How do we use the resources? Are we using resources and recycling wisely? There are things that we can do. How will we act in the future? Will we hold on to faith in the events of the future? Or will we be fearfully led away by falsehood? Will future generations remember us for a callous disregard of the environment? Or will our holding to the faith and practicing our freedom to serve God and to love others also be displayed in our caring for the environment? Will the church be part of the climate change justice in the future? In the face of environmental losses and endings, will we be part of new beginnings? We have an opportunity here to lead our society out of concern and love. I'm certain in one thing that won't change, whatever the outlook of our future is, we are in God's hands. We are in his care. And just as God has provided for us in the past by giving us Jesus as our Saviour, so God will provide for us in our faith in the future. He will sustain us in the faith. It doesn't mean that things will stay the same as they were in the past, nor does it protect us from change. But it does mean that God will not abandon us. God's promises always hold true, and our faith and our freedom are assured, whatever life in this world may hold for us. So as we prepare for the future, and 2022, God willing, is just over the horizon, I share St. Paul's confidence in our future. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, keep our hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus through whatever is ahead, so that we hold unswervingly to the hope we profess and are able to constantly celebrate the new beginnings of the kingdom among us until you come again in glory. Amen.